We had the story of Yanko the Mud Man. Today is the story of Yisrael the Chicken Man. Not a mud man, but a chicken man. Okay, I was hoping today we would have chicken for lunch. Because if we had chicken for lunch, the story would be actually right there. But we have meat and pischetti. Or is that called spaghetti? What is that called? Is that called pischetti or spaghetti? Spaghetti? Whatever it is. Two tables are beautiful. Shh. The only noise is from one table over here. Every other table is just excellent. Or I should say excellent, because today is a story about Yisrael the Chicken Man and eggs. Because these chickens lay eggs. So I should say it's an excellent story. And the lunchroom is now excellent because it's quiet. So keep it excellent so we can have the excellent story about Yisrael the Chicken Man. Okay, a long time ago in Eretz Yisrael lived Yisrael the Chicken Man. Now, why do I call him a Chicken Man? Because his business was chicken farming. Now, the chicken farm was not so much to eat the chickens. The chicken farm was more to get the eggies from the chickens. How many boys know eggs come from chickens? Yes. Some boys actually don't know where eggs come from. Like, I remember a boy, I asked him where French fries come from. And he did not know they come from potatoes. And some kids, when they have chickens on Shabbos, they don't know that those chickens from the freezer come from chickens from the chicken farms. Well, anyway, eggs come from chickens. Yisrael had an excellent chicken farm, chickens that laid eggs. He collected the eggs, took them to the market, and sold them. And that's the way he made money and parnassah for his family, selling eggs. Now, he was not a rich man, but he was not a poor man. And he gave tzedakah, and he was a nice man, and helped people. This is Yisrael, the Chicken Man. Now, Yisrael did not always live in Eretz Yisrael. He came from a faraway place called Vienna. Vienna is a city in Austria. And he moved to Eretz Yisrael. One day, as Yisrael is doing his work on the chicken farm, all of a sudden, there comes to his house a stranger. And the stranger said that he also came from Vienna, and he just arrived in Eretz Yisrael not long before, and he was just beginning to live in Eretz Yisrael. And he had heard that Yisrael the Chicken Man also came from Vienna. So both of them came from Vienna. And why does this stranger come to Yisrael? This man who just moved to Eretz Yisrael not long before needs money to marry off his daughter. She is going to have a chasana, and he does not have the money to pay for it. And he had heard that Yisrael was from the same place as him. See, he thought maybe since, you know, they're from the same place, he would help him to be able to lend him money, because Yisrael, you know, he was not a poor man, he wasn't a rich man. Maybe he would have the money to lend him to help his daughter get married. Because this man didn't know anybody else to go to, and people told him, oh, Yisrael the Chicken Man, He comes from the same place as you. Maybe he'll help you. Now, Yisrael wanted to help him, but Yisrael also didn't have the money. He didn't have a lot of money to lend him to make a chasana. The man needed a lot of money. So Yisrael said, I'm sorry, I'd like to help you. After all, you need the money and I'd like to help you, but I don't have that money. If I had it, I would lend it to you, but I don't have the money, so I can't help you. And the man, he felt like crying because he didn't know what else to do or where else to go. He didn't have friends because he just came very recently and he didn't know anybody to go ask for money. But he trusted in Hashem. He held himself back from crying. He smiled and said, thanks anyway. I'm sure that Hashem will help me. I'll be able to get the money in a different way. And he left, and he went wherever he lives. Yisrael did not know where he lives. We have audio-visual aids today, a multi-dimensional experience. We have an egg. Whose farm did this egg come from? Let's pretend. Did this come from Yisrael, the chicken man's farm? Such a fine egg. Okay. The winner, who is the quietest boy, wins an eggy from Yisrael's chicken farm. Because our story talks about Yisrael, the chicken man. And we should experience in every sense, the story, even the sense of taste, your ears will listen and your mouth will eat the eggy. Yes. Oh, here's the quietest table. I'm going to pick the quietest boy. Here's the quietest boy. I'm going to get another egg. This is wonderful. Each day we should figure out on the menu what the story is about, and we should serve food according to the story. That would be wonderful. Okay, two more eggs. This is a beautiful, quiet class. This boy wins. No. You're also good. I mean, I'm not saying you're good, but I had in mind this boy. Would you like an egg from Yisrael's chicken farm? There you go. And this egg, I'm holding in my hand to give out soon. Now let's keep it this quiet. Yesterday we learned a man came to Yisrael. He wanted to borrow money. Yisrael did not have the money. But he turned the man away without even offering him any kind of help. The man wanted to marry off his daughter. And now the man goes away very sad. He does not know anybody else to go to. He had come to Yisrael because they were both from the same place, from Vienna. And now, Kinalach, Yisrael goes on the chicken farm to work. What is the work? He goes to the chickens to get eggs. He goes out that day. Now, he has many, many chickens. But some chickens are better egg layers than other chickens. Everybody knows, and of course chicken farmers know, that certain chickens lay more eggs than other chickens. And Yisrael had his favorite chickens that laid the most eggs. Maybe he even had names for them. I don't know what he named them, but you know, they were certain chickens that he knew were the best. All of a sudden, that day, when Yisrael went out to collect eggs from the chickens, he found his best chicken laying down on the ground. We don't want to say that negative word, but that chicken was not alive. That chicken had passed away. That chicken had gone to the other world, wherever good chickens go, or whatever happens to chickens. The chicken had died. It was dead, a dead chicken. His best chicken, oh no! My best egg-laying chicken is no longer alive. No more eggs in that chicken. Oh, this is terrible. Well, what could he do? Is a Yid allowed to eat this chicken now? No, a chicken that dies is not kosher. It may not be eaten unless it's shechted. He took the chicken, he went out to the road, he found a poor Arab walking on the road, and he gave him the chicken. And the Arab said, "Thank you very much." Well, he goes on that day working and with his chickens, taking care of his chickens, getting eggs. And Yisrael goes to sleep that night and wakes up in the morning early and goes back to work on the chicken farm. And oh no, all of a sudden as he's going on the chicken farm to collect eggies from the chickens, his number two best egg-laying chicken. What do you think happened to that chicken?
Passed away.
The chicken had passed away. Deceased. The chicken was gone. The chicken had died. Let's say it was a dead chicken. I mean, come on. That chicken had died. Oh no, my second best egg-laying chicken. It laid so many eggs. Oh no. Yesterday, the best one. And today, number two. What's going on? Well, it does so happen that chickens do pass away. They don't live forever, do they? He took the chicken. What do you think he did with that dead chicken?
To an Arab.
He gave it to a poor Arab. And he went on working with his chickens, collecting eggs. And now, the third day, in the morning, of course, after davening and after learning some Torah, and eating breakfast. I don't know if he ate eggs for breakfast. But maybe he did. Anyway, he goes out to work with the chickens. And try to figure out, as he was going to collect eggs from his chickens, what he found.
A third chicken was dead.
A third chicken was dead. How do you know? Did you hear this story?
No.
Did you figure out in your brain that?
Yeah.
He figured out in his brain the third chicken, the third best chicken. Was dead. Here's an eggie for you, because you figured out that part of the story. Are there more eggs over here after all? No. Okay. What should we do? Maybe we'll give out some soup. Kenelach, Yisrael the chicken man knew that something is very wrong if three chickens pass away in 3 days and the best chickens, the best egg layers pass away. Maybe there's a chicken plague. I wonder what's going on, a chicken sickness. He goes next door to the other chicken farm of his neighbor, because this was an area of chicken farms, and he says, "Have you been having problems the last few days with your chickens? Is there a chicken sickness?" The man said, "No, my chickens are fine." And he went on the other side to another neighboring chicken farm and he said, "Have you had any chickens passing away lately? Is there a chicken disease in the area?" And the man says, "No, all my chickens are fine." He went all around the neighborhood and all the chicken farms were doing fine. Only by him these chickens were passing away. Yisrael knew that something is going on. And he knew from the Torah that if something not good is happening to you, you have to look inside what you do, look inside of your deeds, and maybe you have to do tshuva. Maybe you did something wrong and you better fix it. And Hashem is showing you that you better do tshuva, or else who knows what else could happen. Shh. Maybe these are kaparis. How many boys know chickens, we do kapparas. Better the chicken than something else. And Yisrael started to think, what did I do wrong? What do I have to fix? Well, all of a sudden, it came to his mind, somebody came over a few days ago and needed money, and I didn't help him. Wait a minute. Even though I didn't have the money, but maybe I could have gone out and borrowed the money to help him. Because I know people that have money, but he doesn't. I could have gone out. I could have borrowed the money. And he would pay the money back to me, and I'll give it back to those people. I would trust the man. He's an honest man. He just didn't know where to borrow money. I could have helped him to get the money, and I didn't do it. Oh, I have to fix that. I have to go and find that man, and I have to give him the money he needs to make the chasana for his daughter. And Kenalach, on this day, right then and there in the afternoon, about 12 o'clock, Rabbi Bernstein, what difference does it make what time it is? Well, you'll see. Right then and there, on the third day, about 12 o'clock, Yisrael the chicken man decided that the reason that his chickens were passing away was because he had done something wrong and he better fix it. And he is going to collect the money. He's going to borrow the money for the man, find the man, and give him the money so he can marry off his daughter. And that's what he decided to do. He made a strong hachlata toiva. And now he's got to find the man. He did not know where the man lives. So he started asking around anybody he knew that also came from Vienna, because other people were his landsmen, people that came from the same place. Do you know a man who just recently moved to Eretz Israel and he has to marry off his daughter? I don't know where he lives. Finally, one of his friends knew about that man and he knew where he lived. Yisrael went around and collected money. Boy, is it loud. Sounds like a chicken farm. He finally found the man. And he ran to him, and he was so happy because he wants to help the man. He wants to fix what he did wrong. He will now do the mitzvah of gemilus chasadim, of lending money, and also of hachnasas kala, helping a poor kala to get married. And he goes to the man. He says, "Look, I have the money you need. I'm sorry I didn't give it to you the day you came to me. But I want you to know I really feel bad about what I did, and I have the money for you." And the man said, "Thank you, but no thank you." What do you mean, thank you, but no thank you? "Here's the money for you. I have the money for you." "I don't want to accept the money. I already have a different way, but thank you anyway." "Well, what do you mean? You have the money already?" "No, I don't have the money yet, but I can't accept this money. There will be a different way for me to get the money." And Yisrael said, "What do you mean? If you don't have the money, so why don't you take this money? I'm lending it to you, and you'll pay me back whenever you can. There's no time you have to pay back, whenever you could." He says, "But no, I decided I shouldn't. But no, I decided that when I left your house, I saw you couldn't help me. So I knew that the money would not come from you. So I decided a different thing. This is what happened." Shh, now listen closely. The man says, "After I left your house, I was very sad. I was very depressed. I didn't know what to do because I didn't have the money to marry my daughter off to make the chasana. And I went to my house and I was just crying. And I was crying the whole day. And the next day I was also crying. I just didn't know what to do. And my wife also didn't know what to do. And she was crying. And our daughter, who wants to get married, also started to crying. We just didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, we decided, look, we're in Eretz Yisrael, the Halakha land. Let's go to Yerushalayim. Let's go to the Kotel. And let's daven to Hashem by the Kotel, the place where there used to be the Beis HaMikdash, the Halakha place that the Shekhinah never left. Even in the Churban, Hashem's Halakhite is still there. Let's go daven there. So then, the next morning, we went to Yerushalayim. We got there in the early afternoon. And I went to the Kotel. My wife and my daughter went to where the ladies are. And we started to daven to Hashem. And this is what I said to Hashem. Hashem, there's three partners to every baby. There's the mother, the father, and there's Hashem. Our baby girl has grown up. And of course, the three partners still have to take care of the child. I'm trying to take care of my child. My wife is trying to take care of the child. We're trying to make a chasana for our daughter, but we can't do it. Hashem, you're the third partner. You also have a responsibility to take care of our daughter because you're the third partner. Please, Hashem, can't you help us? Shh. And after I got done davening, I felt like a tremendous rock was taken off of my head. Like a tremendous weight was lifted up. I felt that Hashem accepted the davening. And I knew that something good would happen and He would help my daughter to get married. I knew it for sure. Yisrael the Chicken Man said, exactly which day did you go to the Kotel to daven? I was there 3 days after I went to you. It was a Wednesday, because I came to you on a Monday. Aha, Yisrael, the Chicken Man says. And exactly what time were you davening by the Kotel and crying to Hashem to help your daughter to have the money she needs to get married? Well, it happened to be 12 o'clock. Aha, 12 o'clock, the third day after you came to me, on a Wednesday. Well, I'll tell you exactly what happened to me 12 o'clock on Wednesday. That's exactly the time I decided that I have to help you, that I have to get the money for you, and I have to help your daughter to get married. That's exactly the same time. The same time you were davening by the Kotel, that's the same time I made up my mind that I'm going to get the money for you. So that's the sign that this money and this bag you should take. And that's the money that Hashem is sending you, and I am the lucky shliach. And when the man saw the Hashkaka Pratis, that exactly the same time he was davening by the Kotel, this man made up his mind to help. Exactly at the same time, in a different place, he said, okay, I will accept this money from you to help my daughter to get married. And of course, the Yid was very happy that he's able to have the money to make the chasana. And Yisrael the Chicken Man was so happy that he got to do the mitzvah of Hachnosis Kalo and of Gemilus Chasadim, and of course, Ahavas Yisrael. And he made up his mind that any time he has a chance to do a favor, he will always try to do a favor for another yid. Because there's a saying that it could be that a neshama comes down into the world to live a whole life in order to help somebody just one time with a special favor. And that could be like the whole shlichus, why you came in the world, was to be at a certain place at a certain time to help somebody, to do a favor for another yid. So we should always try in any way we can to help somebody else. Okay, this story is about a chassid named Beryl. Beryl lived in Chaznik. You know, where's Chaznik? No, Chaznik is not in Brooklyn. It's not even in America. Chaznik was a town in Russia. Maybe it's still a town in Russia. And it's near another town called Chernobyl. Beryl had a nice family. He was so happy. A nice wife, a nice kinalach. Beryl had a nice little house. He wasn't a rich man, but at least he had a nice little house. His kinalach had clothing and food. And he was even able to give tzedakah, a tenth of his money. So Beryl was very happy. Baruch Hashem, he was able to give tzedakah. And he would take his tzedakah money from Chaznik, and he would go once a year, and sometimes twice a year, to his Rebbe, Reb Matale Chernobyl. Reb Matale Chernobler. Beryl would visit his Rebbe, Reb Matale of Chernobyl, and once in a great while, when Reb Matale Chernobler would travel, and he would pass through Chaznik, do you know whose house the Rebbe would stay in? Beryl's house. Oh, Beryl was very lucky. His Rebbe would stay in his house. Well, this is how this story goes. One time, the town of Chaznik found out that the wagon of Reb Matale Chernobler is on its way to Chaznik. Reb Matale Chernobler is traveling, and he's going to come to Chaznik. And Reb Beryl got so excited because he knows that when the Rebbe comes to Chaznik, he stays in his house. And he starts telling his wife, oh, let's get the house ready, and let's make the bed, and let's get the room ready. The Rebbe is coming, and he's going to stay in our house. And the whole family was so happy and excited, especially Reb Beryl. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and there's a messenger, one of the gabayim, one of the helpers of Reb Matale Chernobler, by the door. Oh, he must be here to tell us the Rebbe is going to be here soon. Nope, he handed a letter to Reb Beryl. This is from the Rebbe. Oh, a letter from the Rebbe. He opened it up. He opened up the letter. It says, "Dear Reb Beryl." Now, the Rebbe himself didn't write the letter. It must be one of his gabayim wrote the letter. The Rebbe will not be staying in your house when he comes to Chaznik. He will be staying somewhere else. Oh no, Reb Beryl thought to himself, the Rebbe is not staying in my house. He's staying somewhere else. Oh, I feel so bad. I wonder why the Rebbe is not staying in my house. He was so disappointed. Well, I guess the Rebbe has his reasons. But at least when the Rebbe comes, I'll be able to have yechidus. Now, the Rebbe would either be in the shul, or sometimes it was in Reb Beryl's house, that people would go one by one to be by the Rebbe alone, and they would be able to get advice or a bracha from the Rebbe by themselves, to be alone with the Rebbe. That's called Yechidus. And Rebbe Erl started to prepare himself that when the Rebbe comes, he's going to go in Yechidus to the Rebbe, to speak to the Rebbe. And he sat down to write things down, to make a pidyon nefesh, a tzetel. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and one of the gebuyim of the Rebbe was by the door, and he says, I have a letter for Rebbe Erl. Another letter? Yeah, it's